Yeah, no, I appreciate
Yeah, I
that. And
think
I
about that
think,
as well.
yeah, one of the greatest like standout conversations I had with C-Fest at one of the seminar, I can't even think of the word. The like the talks that we had was on gatekeeping. And like for me in my life, I've always thought of that as like a negative thing. Like, no, you don't want to be gatekeeper. You can't be, but like it was very much like you we're gonna be. Every single decision that like that we as artists and as people make, it's defining an us and them. And I think it's a really big picture question to like contemplate that, and it's very daunting. But I know that like for me, I can see like the effort that's being put in to create a diverse and inclusive community. I know in the Unacademy, like I had this amazing group of individuals, and we just really went off in terms of what artistic expressions we were doing. There was visual art, there was theater, there was dance. Not everybody, I don't, I, less, I think less than half of our 5-person group was conservatory trained. And we just came up with this process, which will probably be in an upcoming episode, so more spoilers and hints of creating art. And it could look like anything, and it was a really, really fun process. And I felt like I gained so much from this sort of integration outside of music. And I really appreciated that all of the like institutional like cheerleading that we got in our project. And like it was goofy and it was silly and it was fun, but at the same time we were all like, this is really artistically enriching. And I think that's part of what makes this festival so cool, is because it is all of those things. It is so goofy and just bizarre at like 95% of the time. Who knows what's going on? But also we all get so much out of it.
That's probably good.
Yeah,
It's probably good. We're
like
having this like
we
very serious conversation, but like the whole audience should understand that like 95% of Z Festival is like a bunch of people being really goofy all the
Oh yeah, and like the chat on our Zoom calls, it's chaos. That is no man's land. Everything is happening and nothing is happening all at the same time. And it's really everything I've found, and I really look
It is so hard to be serious in those meetings and like watch the chat and you're like, no, I'm trying to lead this. Like, I don't know.
I can't even
Great.
imagine. And I'm also like very much the one in the chat going like, ah ha ha ha, but what if, hey, I think we should, and like I feel like I'm just like the kid in the back of the class like poking people, but it's great. I like
Or you don't pay attention and then like 5 minutes later, you come back and like everyone's changed their names to like Z something that doesn't make any sense because you didn't read 5 minutes of chat. I don't know.
yeah.
It's
It's a really great time, and I really look forward to this community continuing to grow and gaining more voices and pulling in more people, because I think it is such a special place. Yeah, I mean it's a place. It's an
Yeah.
online place, but I think we're in a world of online places right
That's
now.
true.
And like and we've got our digital concert hall and like all the different stuff that's weirdly sprung up out of it.
For sure.
And I just really appreciate all that work that's going in. One other thing that I wanted to mention, I know that one thing that we have both faced in our musical lives in different ways is the idea of perfectionism and how toxic it can be. And I was wondering if you wanted to share some of those experiences in dealing with it and talking about why it is like a harmful mindset to have.
It's like it's kind of interesting because I think part of the reason I rail against this is like I just personally am not that much of a perfectionist. And while I think that's something that's like really important for some musicians and like if you want to be at the highest level a lot of times in music, like you have to be able to key into that. But like it's definitely not my natural state at all. That said, like I can still like appreciate it in music. Like, I don't know, it's just I have a big problem with like the fact that classical music, it's like the biggest thing so often. Like I have like this, minor crisis of one of many, in undergrad where like I was going to concerts with my friends and like every time like we'd go to their Pittsburgh Symphony concerts and then afterwards like everybody would just be talking about like what's like tiny things were wrong, you know? Or like this, you know, this entrance wasn't together, or like this thing, like really tiny things. And I was just like, I really enjoyed that concert. Like I just wanted to enjoy that and like go to a con, you know? And like there's this like music school kind of like beats that out of you a little bit.
Definitely.
Like you have to be so critical, and like I don't know, I'm honestly like a little conflicted about this because like I don't know, I think there's like some value to that, and like there's some points at which like you do have to be able to, like I said, like you have to be able to key into it, and it makes sense that music school makes you critical of music. Like you have to be like that
Right.
to learn in a way, but it like I've really struggled against it. And I don't know, I've had experiences, you know, where I like when I was living in Montreal last year, like one of my favorite things to do was go to this bar that had a folk music night where like everybody would like sit around and play like traditional Quebec folk music. And I
Oh,
would just sit
fun.
there and be like, everyone loves this so much. And
Yeah.
like, this is like such good music, and this is so much fun. Like, they're having more fun than anyone is having in a concert hall. Like,
Sure. Oh, yeah.
just saying, like they're like having a blast, they're drinking a ton of beer, they're like anyone can come with an instrument and join in, and like it doesn't sound like it's, but like they're not tuned, you know, like they're not all tuned to 440 whatever, like they're just like playing and enjoying themselves. And I feel like you see this like over and over in different types of music, and like they're all like they all have like some of them have like different types of perfectionism, and like obviously a lot of different types of music like you know, value different things, and like a lot of it is really nuanced. But like to me it feels like the stuff that like sometimes provides the most value is like also the stuff that like anyone can be involved in and is like I guess inclusive
Yeah.
and is just like for fun rather than for like high art.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like it's I think it's interesting, like the place where most of us probably end up being is like having to straddle that line and like be able to engage with both of those. And I just find that to be a really interesting place to be. Like interesting and like kind of frustrating.
Yeah. No, I get that 100%. My mom is really fond of saying, "Oh yeah, like we sent Alexa to music school so that she could be a music snob." And like on one hand, like yeah.
Can't argue with
That's
that.
but also at the same time, like I also think it's very telling that like we have music appreciation courses versus like nobody's going to music school if you don't appreciate music, right? Like what are you doing there? Like you're not n nobody has ever made nobody's ever said, "I don't like music, but I'm gonna go get a music degree because I think it like I think I'm gonna make a lot of money or whatever." Like that's not a decision that you make, right? But then I think that like there's something in the like training system that teaches us to not appreciate music. And I talk about this quite a bit in my paper about compositional voice. Which is like a whole other conversation that will go on for hours if you let it. But it's, I talk a lot about it this from the like a composer's perspective, and I think it really applies to performers too, where like you go to school and you learn what's really, really good about a certain type of music, and you learn what's really, really bad about the music that you're making. And it's a very, very weird dichotomy to exist within where I'm learning, like, oh, and this is why Stravinsky is genius and all of these harmonies, and wow, and here's how to analyze them. But also, like, here's every single way that you just made a mistake in this thing that you're playing, and don't do it again. And like, basically, go into a practice room and like beat that out of you. And it's a very, very toxic environment in a lot of ways. And then we like lose the ability to appreciate the music that we're hearing because we're so busy analyzing it. And I'm just like, oh, I don't have answers to it, but wow.
Great. Like definitely. I don't know. That's one of the most helpful things for this that I kind of like came to a realization of as at one point was sometime one time, I don't know, this is slightly oboe specific, but I'm sure it can be, you know,
Go off.
extrapolated. But it was like one time somebody just told me like it was, I think it was my teacher, and he was like, "No one in the audience can tell the difference between your best read and your third best read." And I was like, "You know what? Like, no one in the orchestra can tell the difference between my first best read and my third best read. Like, if you ask I don't know. I think, I don't know if this is particularly true, but it feels like, especially as woodwind players, we get like so obsessed with sound and
Don't,
whatever.
yeah.
And
Don't even
like,
get me started. Oh.
I know, it's like, it's so frustrating. And like oboists are so into tone, and I used to be so into tone and like what my tone was. But like, first of all, you should have different tones for different things you play.
Yeah.
Like it should be flexible. And like, and also like, I don't know, it's a lot. And like it's true that like 99.9% of the world like can't tell, like I don't know, some large percentage of the world like doesn't even know what an oboe is. So like I don't even know,
Sure.
like not to mention like what it sounds like, like so it's like
Right.
why am I like obsessing over like exactly what the sound of this reed is when like I just want to be able to play it and like feel satisfied by it. And like we like sort of end up associating like sounding the best with like feeling satisfied with how we play, which like makes sense, but is
Yeah.
like also like sort of toxic cycle. And like when in reality it should be like I had a lot of fun playing this thing. Like I started realizing, I realized partway into school that like I really like sight reading. Like we have like a repertoire orchestra in my school, you know, most of them do, you know, for like conductors and conducting students.
Yeah.
And I went all the time because no one's judging you that much if you mess up, you know, because everyone's sight reading. Like you're
Yeah.
not really expected to prepare. It's just like, it's like sort of like just like learning the music and like playing for fun. And like it like builds some, it builds some skills for sure, but it also is just like, I don't know, so much more like I don't know, that was just like my very satisfying experience. And like
Yeah.
people didn't care if you weren't using your best read because it wasn't like the top orchestra with like a concert the next day.